if we've got time, I've got a another video clip of somebody's story of what's happened to them as they've become a Christian. Because we're looking at the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is all about the fact that we can experience and enjoy the God who saves us and loves us and gives us a new destiny. I don't know if we'll have time, but we'll see how we go on with that. My title for what I want to share with us this morning is Living as Children of Light. And in the Bible that I've got, the title says that, Living as Children of Light. So I've pinched that because it sums up the passage that I'm going to read to us. There are two destinies in this passage. I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17. There are two destinies that you can either be a child of light or a child of darkness. If you're a child of light, your destiny is where you have light and life and fruitfulness and reward. If you're on the dark side, sounds a bit like Star Wars, doesn't it? Then, as you can imagine, the ultimate destination is death. But between that, there's a lot of frustration as well. And I'm just going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17. And go from there. What I'm looking to do is describe what it looks like to be a Christian and to be someone who has received the Holy Spirit into their lives. What does it look like? And when we read what it looks like here, what would motivate you or me to do that? What would motivate anybody to be like this? And the third thing I want to look at is, how can I get it if I want to? How can I be like this if I want this? Okay? So, Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17. Paul writes to this young church in Ephesus and he says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do." That is, non-Christians, if you like. "In the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more." Verse 20, "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, don't sin. In fact, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. And don't give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Brawling and slander." Brawling means shouting. Slander means making false and damaging statements about other people. "Along with every form of malice." Malice is just wishing ill will on other people. rather be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, don't be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. So live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Rather, expose them. Because it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And that's why it says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. That word debauchery means excessive indulgence in sex, alcohol or drugs. So don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, it's a challenging scripture there. And you could think, am I really meant to live like that? And so I just want to pray before I start. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible, which is a wonderful book and is helpful to us and shows us the pattern that you have for us in our lives. Please may this come home to each one of us, including myself this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So living as children of light. So I want to come on to that point then. So why would anybody be motivated to do that, to live like that? Why? And I've got four, perhaps, motivations. Number one, perhaps fear of punishment. There we go. Now, I must confess, my wife, Liz, when she did her last tour, I was bowled over by the class of what do you call it? What's it? PowerPoint, thank you. PowerPoint presentation. So I've tried to just get a little bit like that. So try to improve my game, basically. So fear of punishment. After all, it does say in the passage, God's wrath will come on the disobedient. So we don't want that. But fear, I mean, somebody said there's not much fear of God actually in the church. Well, if there's not much fear of God in the Church of God in general, there's even less in the world. In fact, there isn't any. And so fear may have some traction. It may motivate me for a bit, but I don't think it's that good. Second motivating thing would be, I think this is a stronger one. I don't know what you think. But if somebody does something really nice for you and you feel really grateful for what they've done, then don't you want to bless them back in some way? Do you agree? So repay a kind of thanks ever so much, really appreciate it. That, well, that would motivate me, and has done, to do something back. And if we look at the benefits, I don't know if I was considering this week, and I was bowled over when I started thinking about all the benefits we have as Christians. If someone is a Christian, this is what comes your way. You get forgiveness for your sins if you're sorry. Forgiveness. Eternal life. After life, you go on to life. And it's not pie in the sky with a harp on a cloud. You've got an eternal inheritance that God gives you. You're adopted into the family of God. Not just for a week or a month, but for good. You become part of God's royal family, his family. This is incredible. Now, just so I've mentioned this before, people who like cryogenic suspension, who pay millions to have their nearly dead body frozen so that at some point in the future they can come along, they pay millions for that, and it's not going to work anyway. But we have eternal life. Made sons and daughters of God. We have a new life on earth. We're lifted to a supernatural plane, the plane of the Spirit of God, who supernaturally helps us and assists us. We are blessed. Blessed means things in the end work out for us. Things, we can be a success. We can make our life a success because of God being with us. We're blessed. We'll have problems, but we'll be able to find solutions to those problems with God's help. And the next slide. Oh, look, do you like my little yellow ball? You know, sort of saying, you can be there with a smile on your face where everybody else is, oh, yeah, this is awful, the economy, and oh, it's awful what's going on, isn't it? Oh, there's a. You can be there with a little smile on your face because of the Lord who is with you. What else? Well, we're enlightened. We get to understand life, understand God, understand why am I here? Where am I going? What's the point to life? Become enlightened. God's love is poured into our hearts, our lives. We're at peace. One of the Psalms says this, I love it. It says, great peace have them who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Great peace. So much need of peace. So much ignorance about how to get it. And we have it. We have that facility. Peace. Security. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. I heard that Simon Cowell's got a bodyguard now. But just a stray bullet can still get through to him. We have eternal security. We know where we're going. He helps us in life, and he comforts us. So that's just so. If you're on the receiving end of those things, that makes me grateful. Does it? You? It will, won't it? And so, yeah, I'm motivated to live like this because God has been good to me, and I want to be good back to God. Fair enough. Yeah. Next one. Because I ought to. Probably the weakest of the lot. Do you agree? I ought to go to bed. But, you know, I really ought to not lie. I really ought not to nick things from the office. You know, I really ought to tell the truth. I hate ought to's. I think it's the weakest of the lot. I don't know if you agree with me. But I ought to do this, I ought to do the other. I'm coming now, could you put the next slide on, to the simply the best. By the way, do you like my illustration so far? I am trying to improve. Kelly, you know, Ofsted and all that. Yeah. Oh, you're on your phone. That's all right. Keep going. It's not interesting enough yet. Anyway, right. Simply the best. Right. Here's the way. Here's the way. God puts the desire actually on the inside of me. And there's the scripture, Ezekiel, go a long way back in the Old Testament. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. The new spirit is the Holy Spirit. He comes in, and you know what? It changes your heart. You want to do what God wants. I didn't want to do what God wanted at all. It was an inconvenience when I would consider these things. But now my heart rises to them and I want to do them. And he also helps you. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now I've got an illustration here. Bear with me. See, I used to have this not very good habit of not flushing the loo. That has changed since my daughter and son-in-law have been to live with us. And now for fear of my daughter and the fact that I have to pay her £1 if she discovers the loo not in a proper state, I am strongly motivated to do that. Also, love for my wife and for my son, Joe, who also lives in the house. I want to do this, and I know I ought to do this, okay? The problem is, and the problem historically has been, that in my heart of hearts, I'm actually more interested in saving the odd penny from not flushing the loo than actually having it spotless and clean as it should be and I ought to be. And this is absolutely true. Okay. So really what I need is a heart change, don't I? I need a heart change. I need to not be bothered about the odd penny of cost of flushing the loo. And so, but I think it's fear that's actually done it. And it costs me more now when I have to pay £1 if it's not done. So I'm just saying, and so now you know what a sort of person I am. But anyway, I'm just trying to make the point that actually what I need is a heart change. And I need to want to do this with all my heart. And if I do that, I'll want to do it. And actually what happens is when the Holy Spirit comes in, he changes your heart. And the Bible says that the Lord, he hates wickedness and he loves righteousness. And we get to feel like that. So that's a big help, isn't it? So, well then, why bother then writing this? If it's written on my heart and I'm inclined that way, why does Paul bother saying, leave all that behind and do the good and leave the bad and do the good? Why does he say that? Because the dark side is still lurking within us, is it not? There is a force that pulls us. It's called the sinful nature or the flesh. If you go to the next one, there's about that. Darth Vader up there, pulling us to the dark side. And the Apostle Paul, writing 2,000 years ago, even filled with the Holy Spirit, had to make this statement. He said, do you know what? I've discovered, actually, this principle in life. By the way, are there any perfect people in here that can't relate to this? I'll just ask you now, see if there are any hands go up. But he says, I've discovered this principle of life that when I want to do what is right, the pull to do wrong is also there with me. I love God's law with all my heart. But there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. I think he had a bad day on that day. But actually, he does go on to say, praise and thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us the victory. And so there's this pull to do the opposite still with us. Even though I rejoice and love God's law, there's still part of me that pulls me to do the opposite. Is that right? So I want to ask this final question. How can I give us any practical steps? How you and I can live like Paul urges us to and not grieve the Spirit of God who has so lovingly poured his life into us. How can I live like this and succeed at it more than I fail? And I've got a few steps. I've got 7 little points and they're not long. Take heart. Number one, how can I live as a child of light? Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And I will pray for you again for the Holy Spirit to help you and strengthen you in your life. Because I'll tell you what, if we've not got the Holy Spirit, we may as well pack up, give up now, because we're always going to live in failure. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us. He's the one who changes my heart from wanting to flush the loo from rather than leaving it a stinky, horrible mess. He wants to clean us up. And he's the one who changes our heart. And thank God he does. He gives us the biggest motivational force in our lives, and that is we really want this. But not only that, he gives us the power to do it as well. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two. Decide where your allegiance is. To whom do you belong? There's a little saying. My boss is a Jewish carpenter, meaning Jesus. And Paul writes to the Romans, he says, he's writing what it means to be a Christian. He says, believe in your heart that Christ rose from the dead and confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. But you mean it in your heart. You mean it in your heart. It's where is your allegiance? And if that's not your position, you're not going to succeed. If Jesus isn't Lord of your life, you can try, but you're not going to receive the fullness of the Spirit until he's Lord. And there's a baptismal coming up in 2 weeks' time. And if anybody hasn't been baptized yet or would like to be baptized, now's your time. Because in baptism, you are declaring your allegiance. You're saying, who's boss? Am I still living in my old life, my old way with its pressures and pull to sin that is strong? Am I still living under that? Or am I declaring my new allegiance to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? I belong to him and I'm going to walk with him with his help and the power of the Spirit. And you declare Jesus Christ is Lord and prove it by being baptized. You die to your old self symbolically and you rise up to the new life. So I want to recommend that if anybody's not been baptized or if you're a new Christian, then show it, declare it by being baptized. Decide where your allegiance is. Number three, know what God wants of you. It says in this passage on a couple of occasions, it says, find out what pleases the Lord or understand God's will. And I'm bemused by Christians if they say, you know, I'm a Christian, I follow the Lord, but they have make no effort themselves to find out what pleases God. They don't access that book, for example. It's almost as if, well, it should just all happen automatically now. No, it doesn't. You have to find out what pleases the Lord. Now, I've helped this morning by, for example, reading that passage. It gives you a good idea on a number of things, but there's more to it than that as well. It's walking with the Lord and it's making an effort to please him. It's making an effort to find. Do you know? I mean, can I ask you, do you know how you can please the Lord? Do you know what God wants of you? And if not, why not? I'm not saying that in a critical way. I'm just saying God wants us to find out what pleases him and to make an effort on that. See? Okay. So, know what God wants of you. Yes, okay, you can go to that one. That's fine. Thank you. Thank you, Alex. Live to die. What about live and let die? Got that one in. Live to die. Paul says, put off the old self. You must no longer live like the non-Christian. Get rid of lying, deception, stealing, bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, malice, sexual immorality, greed. Get rid of it. Now, I've got a good example to illustrate this. Okay? Because, can anybody say, I was in a school this week. And, or was it last week? I think it was last week, actually. And can anybody see my thumb? This girl says, sir, have you got nail varnish on? See that? Black. What happened? I'm building an extension the back of our house, okay? So, one day, nailing or something like that, my thumb in the place, and it's silly me, and whack. Ow, really killed. But it all went black, you see, because what's happening is the blood is gushing out underneath the nail. So I whacked it, and it absolutely stung for quite some time. And what's happening now is somebody said to me, oh, you probably lose the nail. Well, that is happening, but gradually. And I can pick off bits of bloodstained nail, you know, and flick it, you know, out of the car window. And but the great thing is, if you have a look at my nail, you can't see it here, but if you have a look up, you can see the new nail emerging fully intact, brand new. And you know, as an illustration here, I realise it's great. Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, the preacher of the 19th century, said, illustrations are like windows. In a sermon, an illustration is like a window that lets light in. Here's an illustration. So this nail is a bit like Jesus, who 2,000 years ago had nails driven into his hands and feet and died so that you and I could live. And if you want to be a Christian today, say, I want this new life, then Jesus is here and the Holy Spirit is here, and you can put your trust in him today. Say, Lord, I want a new life. I want some of that. I want a new life. I want a new beginning. I want the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to know, to love you and love your ways. And you can do that. That can begin today in a minute when I pray. And I hit this, and it's dying and the new is coming. And it's a bit like where Paul says here, he says, get rid of your old ways. Put it off. Don't give it a minute's time. Be ruthless. And it's like when you or I decide, yeah, Lord, I'm going to, you are Lord of my life. I want to live for you for the rest of my life. And I want the way I live to please you. I want to please you in every way. What you're doing, it's like you're whacking a nail. And the blood comes out. And it's like something dies. And it's your old self is on the way out. Listen, we're on the way out anyway. We're all dying, aren't we? You know, in that sense. You know, some have got longer to live than others. And string out the misery for longer, you know. But but it's like your old self is terminal. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the new life of Christ in you gains the precedence and becomes stronger, and the old life becomes weaker. Now, I believe there are some people in here that are struggling with things in their lives. And I believe this is a moment in time where you can, in faith, reach out to the Lord and begin a process where the new life can gain precedent over the old, destructive, sinful, bad habit life. I believe there are a number of people in here who want things, who want to do this, who say, well, I rejoice in God. I love these things. I love what you talk about. I love this, but I've not got the power. Or I've failed. And I believe that God wants to come to you today, and on the back of your decision to say, I want to put this off and I want to put the new life on, I believe that God is going to come to you by his Spirit and strengthen you in a supernatural way and give you what you need to walk forward with the new life growing and the old life dying today. And I just wonder if the music team wouldn't mind coming back up. Told you they weren't going to be long. Live to die. Oh, I've not finished yet. It's all right. Still, come on. Still, come on. Get yourself comfortable. Goodness me. Right. Right. Here's another one then. I won't be long, you say. I won't be long. Forgot about this. Right. Number five. When you sin, regret it, repent quickly. That means turn away from it quickly. And then get on with your life. Don't mope around feeling sorry for yourself. Get on with your life. Now, Next one, please. Wood. It's all right. There's a picture on there I need to pay attention to. You lost it. You have. What about that? It's good, isn't it? But if you're sorry in your heart, you mean you can say, oh, I'm sorry. Don't really mean it, you know. But if you're sorry in your heart, you say, I'm really sorry, God. I don't want this in my life. Someone said you can measure the spirituality of a person, not by whether they don't sin or not, but by when they do sin, how long it takes them to turn from it. So the fifth thing is, when you sin, regret it. Repent quickly and move on. Next one. Don't feed your weakness. Always used to say that if you've got a problem with, like, alcohol, say, don't walk home by the pub. If you've got a problem watching things that you shouldn't be watching late at night, don't sit there and do it. You've got to take some steps. You've got to mean it. And if you mean it, you've got to do something about it. But what I'm saying is, in the seriousness of you whacking this and saying, I'm going to put on my new self, take off my old self, you've got to mean it with all your heart. And then the Spirit will come in and help you. And then the last thing, just enjoy the Lord. Enjoy God. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Don't get drunk with wine, rather get drunk with the Spirit, says Paul. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to just spend a moment or two, I'm going to pray. I particularly feel concerning, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I don't want anybody saying anything about themselves or anything like that. But if you find yourself in here today and you say, "Well, I've struggled with this for some time. I know it's not right. It's not where I want to be. It's not what I want." But so far, I've been unsuccessful in reining this in. I've been unsuccessful in living the way God wants me to live on this. I am talking to you today. And I just want to say that God's heart is for you. He doesn't judge you for what you've done or what you do. He loves you. And he accepts you as you are. But he wants to give you the power to take a different path from that thing that's you don't want and is besetting your path and is a problem to you. He wants to give you the power to take a different path. And he wants... You've got to do something about it. You've got to... Take a hammer and whack, not really, whack your thumb. You've got to say that is, I really want this, God. I really want to take this course and I really want this dealt with. And then he'll do the rest. It may not happen straight away, but he'll move in your life and help you by the power of his Spirit. So I'm just going to pray. Do play something like that. It's lovely. So Heavenly Father, I just do want to pray for us this morning, and particularly with regard, as I've just mentioned, for those people today who love God's law and rise in their hearts to all that Paul writes here in the Bible, want this, but find, Lord, a besetting power that has kept them from doing what they know is what God wants and what's best for them too. And I pray, Lord, for each person in that situation today, right now, by your Spirit, I pray that you will just move upon them now, by your Spirit. Encourage them. Pour your love into their hearts. Thank you, you don't judge them. Thank you, you're not coming at them with a big stick. We don't need to fear you in that way, God. But Lord, you come to us in love and compassion. I just pray for each person like that.